L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on SportsGrid. I am Ben Stevens. You know that Joe Ranieri is here. But let's not bury the lead to start this second hour. So too is our guy, Jack McMullen, joining us live right here on this Tuesday as the hot stove is starting to heat up in Major League Baseball with the biggest move of the winter already complete, I should say, the Juan Soto sweepstakes going the way of the New York Mets. We'll talk about Soto, the Mets, the outlook for the Amazons, in the rest of the moves we have already seen and expect to see the rest of this winter with Jack McMullen here over the next few segments to start this second hour. Jack, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
I appreciate you having me. It was really nice that Soto didn't make us wait until, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. on Sunday night, Monday morning, because that's usually when we get the huge news like this. It was nice. It was before my bedtime, so I could take it in, I could understand it, and then I could go to bed and I could get by 8 hours.
Listen, the hatch didn't even have to work overtime for you. I got the Soto news even before I went to bed on Sunday night. So, Jack, the Soto news was this. Juan Soto signing with the New York Mets for the richest and largest contract we have seen in the history of professional sports. 15 years, $765 million with escalators that could make this deal more than $800 million in a player option for Juan Soto after five of those 15 years. Let me ask you the question like this, Jack, to get your initial reaction. Were you more surprised by the team, the New York Mets, that Juan Soto signed with, or the amount of money, $765 million, that Juan Soto signed for?
Not surprised by the team one bit. I'll be totally honest there, because I think if we got into a bidding war, the New York Mets were going to win the bidding war. And I think what the reported final figure from the Yankees was 16 for 760, and the Mets were 15 for 765. It's $5 million in total value. It's also, one less year, so a higher average annual value on the contract. The Mets won the bidding war clearly. Soto wanted to be in New York. I think anybody could understand that from the outset of this season, to be totally honest. I mean, he seemed to love New York. The question was, which borough does he want to be in? And I think the answer might have been total money and might have been average annual value. So we got that answer. It was the Mets. I was not surprised by the team. I was surprised by the money. And I'll tell you why. This is an asinine amount of money to give to somebody that isn't Shohei Ohtani. And the reason I say that, and I've sounded like a hater on a lot of outlets over the last couple of days, but the reason I say that is Shohei Ohtani transcends baseball with what he does. He is a top three hitter on the planet, and he can throw 175 innings at a Cy Young caliber level. And he grabs an entire continent's marketing strategy, and he throws it at the LA Dodgers. There's so much more about the global phenomenon than just a really good hitter and a league average defender in Juan Soto. Mookie Betts made $365 million for 12 years. Aside from Mike Trout, that was the largest contract ever given to a position player. Juan Soto made $400 million more. It's more than double Mookie Betts' contract. But Jack, inflation, it was like 5 years ago that this happened. This is an insane amount of money, and I don't think any non-Otani player is worth even close to $700 million.
So a lot of the rumors that we're hearing is, A, the Yankees had an opportunity to match the Mets bid, but they declined to, and why would you want to get into a bidding war with Cohen? We get that. But two, there was some thought that the reason he chose the Mets is because he didn't want to sit in Judge's shadow. Judge is always going to be Mr. Yankee. Soto wasn't. Do you buy those reports that he wanted to be the face of a franchise and the Mets were more than happy to give it to him?
So my initial reaction, Joe, is like, oh, no, that doesn't matter. You know, you can be the best 1-2 punch that baseball's seen since Ruth and Gehrig if you're there with Judge for a while. And the next 5 years could be special because we saw 2024 be special. But, I mean, he said yes to $5 more million. So maybe there is some validity to that. So I'm not sure if it's a Batman versus Robin thing. I don't think that Juan Soto is going to be Robin if he was wearing pinstripes next year. I think they can very well be co-Batman, and I think that Aaron Judge is willing to be co-Batman with Juan Soto. But the Mets are Soto's team, and my apologies to Francisco Lindor, because I think Francisco Lindor is awesome, and I think that after the NLCS, he could have very well run for mayor in New York City. I know that they were having some mayoral issues at the time, so he probably could have gotten it done. Yeah, sorry about that. But I will say, you know, like, Soto usurps Lindor's star power tenfold, so he does get his wish to be the face of a franchise.
So, Jack, let's dive into Juan Soto. You mentioned that maybe anybody not named Shohei Ohtani might not be worth the sticker shock that is $750 million. But Juan Soto, still a very good baseball player. He has already been in the bigs for 7 seasons and yet is just 26 years old. He has been an all-star 4 consecutive years. And, Jack, it's really hard to argue that given his patience at the plate, and the fact that annually, basically, he leads Major League Baseball, or at least top three, top five in terms of drawing walks, he is one of the hardest bats in the sport to get out. Where do you rank Juan Soto, perhaps, in terms of the 5, 10 best players in Major League Baseball?
I think he's in the conversation for 3. I think Shohei Ohtani is the clear-cut number 1. I think Aaron Judge has proven to this point over the last, you know, 3-4 years that he is the clear-cut number 2. And then I think Soto falls in with Bobby Witt Jr., with Gunnar Henderson. I'm leaving a couple people off the top of my head right now. But I do think that Soto is a top 3 to 5 player in Major League Baseball. Now, that's my gripe. I don't think a top 3 to 5 player in Major League Baseball should be making $765 million. I think Juan Soto should have been a $500, $550 million player because Mike Trout had signed the largest contract in the history of baseball before Shohei Ohtani last year. That was $426. Why can't Soto, who said no to $400, by the way, from Washington when he was still a Washington National, why can't he say yes to $550? Well, the market pushed it to a place that was $765 million. I think aggressively we can call him the 3rd best player in Major League Baseball and the 2nd or 3rd best hitter in Major League Baseball. He is doing things that are unprecedented, right? He hit free agency with a level of success and a pedigree that was essentially unprecedented in baseball. He was a free agent at 26, and he has all of these accolades. He's won 5 Silver Sluggers by 26 years old. I understand that he's going to sign the richest contract in the history of a position player, but $765 million for a guy that is a league average defender in a corner outfield spot and could be a DH in 6 years? Really?
Yeah. So, Jack, I mean, the question is that they're still the 3rd best team in the National League East. Who are we kidding? How many World Series titles do you have to win, Jack, to make this worth the investment here? I'm just curious.
I have no idea. Is it World Series titles? Is it jersey sales? Is it TV market rating? I don't know how you quantify value. And I don't know how the Dodgers quantified value for Shohei Ohtani. All I know is that they made a lot of money and more than $70 million, which is what the average price tag is for Shohei Ohtani over the course of a given deal. So however they make money, it can probably be worth it. In terms of World Series titles, you'd like to see him win two. You'd like to see him win three. And it's clear that Steve Cohen has no issue spending money to complement Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor. The Clay Holmes deal. Apparently, they're in the Garrett Crochet conversation, which would be prospect capital. The Mets are not done.
They will not be, and we'll look at them. And look at Jack McMullen's not done here yet either. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to look at the impact of Juan Soto signing with the New York Mets live right here on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid, then to the rest of the hot stove that is now officially at a simmer. Jack McMullen joins us for yet another segment. Jack, are you repping the brand right now? Is that a Just Baseball mic flag that you have? That is beautiful. Look at that.
You know,
I've got the Sports Grid. Flag. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. I've got the Sports Grid on the actual mic itself. You can see it there. Joe, what do you have?
I basically have a can, and it's right in front of me, and you can't see it. So that's basically it's a can and a long string right now to the studio. That's what we're working with here.
But if we go full to Joe Ranieri right now, you'll see some images behind him that look like maybe some familiar faces at Sports Grid. Anyway, we'll save that for another time. Jack, we're debating Juan Soto, what he means to the New York Mets. And Joe mentioned it, right? Kind of the tongue-in-cheek joke of this all is, does Juan Soto actually make the Mets a favorite to win the National League pennant? Does he even make them a favorite to win the National League East year after year? The odds makers right now, Jack, would tell you no. Yes, he did affect the pennant price. But the Mets are still behind both the Dodgers and the Braves to win the National League crown. They are still behind Atlanta by about 30 cents to win the NL East divisional title. So, Jack, what impact does Juan Soto directly have on the New York Mets? Do you agree with the odds that the Mets are still the third best team in the NL as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly a net positive. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, Juan Soto's a net neutral. But at the end of the day, like, the bottom of that lineup still features an aging Starling Marte, a guy in Brett Beatty where you have to make a decision on him at some point soon, Jeff McNeil, who really struggled. I know he was dealing with a bunch of injuries. And Tyrone Taylor is still in center field, man. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be fixed in the New York Mets right now. And the good news is their farm system is getting a lot better. But you don't sign Juan Soto with the hopes that your farm system is going to be the complementary pieces. You sign Juan Soto in hopes that, you know, the catcher, Francisco Alvarez, turns into a top five catcher in baseball, either this year or in 2026. You sign him in hopes that Francisco Lindor's MVP runner-up, that kind of year is sustainable. And you sign him because you feel like the next 4 years of Brandon Nimmo are going to be really solid. Now, what does this mean for Pete Alonso? What does this mean for first base production? I have no idea. But the Mets, they're not a finished product with Juan Soto now. And my concern, and I do think that the New York Mets are the only team that were exempt from this, I thought a Juan Soto contract was going to torpedo a team's ability to spend around him, find complementary pieces, because the price of a complementary piece is pretty darn high in Major League Baseball right now. Steve Cohen clearly has zero issue spending on complementary pieces. He clearly has zero issue spending on the great whale here in Juan Soto. So I do feel like he's going to spend enough to put together a World Series caliber team here. I feel like by the end of the offseason, we could be talking about the Mets as the favorite in the National League or as the second favorite in the National League. But it's really hard for me to think about a world where the Mets are in the same breath as the LA Dodgers.
So the Yankees, Jack, have no time to feel sorry for themselves as you got the winter meetings going on. But listen, they obviously you just saved $760 million, so you can go out and afford a few more pieces now with that money. The question is, where do they go from here, though? And what does that farm system look like?
Yeah, the question is, did they view that as reserves that they needed to tap into, or did they view that as money that they were ready to deploy, that they're willing to deploy now? It's like, oh, all of a sudden, we have $760 million worth of funny money. Let's go do this. Right. That could make for a hilarious Yankees offseason, and the Yankees could essentially add quantity and a level of quality there that could get close to matching Juan Soto if they grab four guys that are really good, like a Christian Walker and a Teoscar Hernandez and a Max Fried. Maybe a Corbin Burns is a possibility now. Like, that offseason might be considered better than just getting Juan Soto and working from there. The farm system is good, not great right now. I think there are a lot of names that a lot of people are aware of that were underwhelming in the minor leagues last year. Like an Oswald Peraza is a name that has been around Yankee, you know, circles for a while now. It doesn't look like he's a part of the big league future. Spencer Jones is somebody that I know a lot of Yankees fans deemed untouchable coming into this year. He's really struggled in the minor leagues to this point. So I'm not sure where they go here, but I think it's going to be a lot of money given out to like five or six guys.
Listen, Juan Soto being a member of the Pinstripes, of course, the most recent team that he played for, was almost baked into the Yankees' early offseason prices. They did move back after Soto made the trip to Queens, but the Yanks are still the favorites to win the American League and actually moved in front of the Amazons yesterday, weirdly, by a half dollar in terms of their World Series price at plus 850. Third best, still behind the Dodgers and the Braves. So, Jack, as we look elsewhere at the signings that have already happened, we'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. You mentioned some of the Mets' moves they have already made to bolster up the pitching staff, Clay Holmes, Frankie Montas, and then the two big names that have already signed as well, both for $182 million. Let's start with Blake Snell in the L.A. Dodgers. What will Snell add to the starting staff in Los Angeles, the home of the reigning World Series champs?
He creates the Monstars. That's what he's adding. Like, yeah, I mean, it's Snell and it's Tyler Glasnow and it's Yamamoto. And if Kershaw is healthy, Clayton Kershaw. And Shohei Ohtani, by the way, is back now. I mean, this could be a starting rotation in terms of sheer talent that we have not seen. Really ever. I'm thinking about that Philly rotation that won the World Series of Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee and Roy Oswalt and Cole Hamels and Joe Blanton. Like, this is kind of sort of up there. And in terms of star power and money, it's absolutely up there. This was a slam dunk signing for the Dodgers.
The rich keep getting richer. They have won a World Series. Somehow they still have money. And they have made the additions necessary. More around the hot stove with Jack up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, it's the winter in Major League Baseball. The hot stove is on a simmer. Of course, the Juan Soto sweepstakes going the way of the New York Mets. Now, the other notable signings that have already occurred and the ones we expect here rather shortly. So here's what we have seen so far. We talked about Blake Snell to the Dodgers, $182 mil over a five-year span. $182 million, Jack, for the Dodgers' most bitter rival, the San Francisco Giants, and a seven-year deal for the shortstop who spent the last three and a half seasons in Milwaukee, good city, by the way, Willie Adames. The Giants have missed out on a couple of big swings, perhaps, the last few off seasons. What are they getting in Willie Adames? What will he mean for San Francisco this upcoming MLB campaign?
Yeah, Milwaukee gets cold in February, by the way. But what's the song lyric? The coldest summer or the coldest winter I ever had was a summer in San Francisco. What they get is one of, if not the best left side of the infield in Major League Baseball. Matt Chapman is awesome. And they put their money where their mouth was with Matt Chapman. They extended him at the end of the 2024 regular season. Chapman's an $150 million player. Willie Adames is an $180 million player. And they have Chapman at third and Adames at short for the foreseeable future. Willie Adames is the only shortstop in Major League Baseball with 20 homers and 70 RBIs in each of the last four seasons. I think that's a health thing with Corey Seager. But what that tells you is this guy is A, always on the field, and B, a power threat and can play a good shortstop. 20 homers from the shortstop position, and Adames, like, that's his low-end year. His top-end year is a 30-homer shortstop and a good one defensively. This guy is one of the more underrated players in Major League Baseball, and I think a lot of that had to do with him playing in Milwaukee. A lot of people don't know who this is. He is an awesome, awesome player, and the Giants got a lot better by getting Adames. And I feel good for the Giants, man. They moved Buster Posey into that president of baseball operations role after they fire Farhan Zaidi. They missed out on Aaron Judge or Arson Judge. They miss out on Carlos Correa. They finally get their guy in Adames, and they sold him on being on that left side with Chapman. And I think it's going to work, man. I'm really excited.
So we've got quite a few pitchers that could be wearing new uniforms. Burns, Max Fried, and of course, Sasaki, the kid coming out of Japan, who let the bidding begin here. What do you see with these top-end pitchers?
I think Burns is going to get a lot of money. And tell you what, I think Yamamoto made him feel really good. I think Garrett Cole, when he did hit the market, what, 4 years ago or so, 5 years ago, should make him feel really good. I think Corbin Burns is probably a $300 million pitcher with where the market's at right now. Max Fried, I think, is getting close to two. I'm not too sure where Fried will be, but I think Fried is, much like Adames, one of the more underappreciated arms in Major League Baseball. And Sasaki's a weird one. Roki Sasaki is not going to get the Yamamoto type deal. Yamamoto got 325, but Yamamoto came over after he was allowed to be posted to Major League Baseball, which is after you turn 25 years old and 6 years in professional baseball in Japan. Sasaki came over before that, which is the closest thing we've seen to Shohei Ohtani coming over. Ohtani did not get $400 million off the bat. The signing pool that Sasaki can pull from is what you see all of these like teenage guys in Latin America sign for, the international free agency bonus pool. So Sasaki is going to make the league minimum for the next 3 years, but he's going to, you know, sign for $4.5, $5, $6 million. It's going to be tiny compared to a lot of other guys. So I will say Burns, you expect the big fish to be involved, right? I think San Francisco is going to be involved. I think the Dodgers are going to be involved. I think the Yankees are going to be involved. I think the Mets are going to be involved. Similar with Fried. With Sasaki, 30 teams can get involved. He's not going to be a Rocky, but like the Padres can pay Sasaki's price. The Rangers can pay Sasaki's price. The Cubs can pay Sasaki's price. I think that's the most interesting storyline we have. I will say he was officially posted. That pool recycles on January 15th. You'll see Sasaki sign between January 15 and January 23rd.
Jack, that's why we appreciate your insight. Roki Sasaki, only 23 years old. And a lot of teams, as Jack just alluded to, should be in the bidding for his services now here stateside. Jack McMullen, Just Baseball Media, play-by-play voice for the Indianapolis Indians, the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Nobody better to break down the hot stove. Jack, we appreciate it sincerely. Enjoy the rest of the winter, my friend. More of the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 14 of the National Football League regular season now in the books after a wild game on a Monday in Dallas. Week 15 on the horizon. Just 4 weeks remain in our National Football League regular season. If you are in the playoff chase, if you are even remotely featured in the In the Hunt graphics, each and every week, each and every game, will have some direct implications on a divisional race or that playoff chase as well. Joe, that is certainly how Week 15 starts. NFC West rivalry in California. This one up north in Santa Clara as the 49ers on a short week get ready to welcome the LA Rams. The Niners booked as less than a field goal favorite now, just a 2.5-point spread. Total stands at 48.5. Joe, the importance of this game cannot be undersold, because if either one of these two clubs is more than likely to see the postseason, it is winning games like this within the division to win the division. The Rams are 7-6. They're a full game behind Seattle. The Niners are 6-7. They are also behind Seattle. But the thing that is harming the 49ers more than just the overall record, Joe, sub 500, it's their NFC West record at 1-3. Again, the importance of Thursday night to kick off Week 15, it is a big one. What do you like in terms of the numbers?
Well, and it looks like both offenses have finally figured some things out. That was a big effort by the Rams against a very good Buffalo defense, and they were able to put up more than 40 points there. We saw, of course, San Francisco finally start getting the ball. That was the Brock Purdy. That was good Brock Purdy, what we saw there, despite the fact that they have no running game of dimension. But they still didn't have Bosa. They're still missing guys on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, call me crazy. How is this game not going over? They scored 51 in the first meeting. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the last 15 games between these teams have averaged 50 points here, Ben. It feels like this is going to be two teams very familiar with one another. Issues on defense for both teams. Offenses seem to finally be figuring it out. Yeah, this feels like a wild shootout to me.
So it is a Thursday night game on a short week with two teams that have battled injuries all year long. The Rams just played one of the wildest games in the history of the National Football League that featured the most offense we have ever seen this season or in a game. The first time in NFL history, both teams scored 40-plus points and did not turn the football over. What are the lasting effects of eking out a win over Buffalo in a highly dramatic game on a short week with a road trip? No, they're not going cross country or even halfway across the country. They're just going up to Northern California. But still, you wonder, Matthew Stafford is a 36-year-old veteran quarterback. A couple of concerns there for LA. For San Francisco, Joe, I do wonder how injured they will look come Thursday. Isaac Garendo left the game late in the second half, had to be escorted to the locker room, dealing with a lower leg injury. They had just placed Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason on IR entering week 14, and they got a little bit healthier on the defensive side of the football, and a couple of guys are getting back to practice, but are they game ready? Talanoa Hufanga, their outstanding safety. You look at Drake Greenlaw trying to return from the Achilles injury that sidelined him at the end of last year's postseason. And Nick Bosa, who really did not practice last week, but is trending in a positive direction, where they held out last week against the Bears to be ready for this critical divisional duel on Thursday. So many questions, Joe. Here's what I would say. If this game, even played in Santa Clara, was a full week on a Sunday, and even the odds makers made the 49ers a favorite, as they have often been this season and since the start of last year, I'd probably pick the Rams outright as an underdog. The short week component, though, really scares me for LA, and scares me because a couple of weeks ago, I bet the Rams at plus 290 to win the NFC West. It is now plus 160. It's a critical game for the Rams to lose if they are going to do so, just because it's on a short week.
Yeah, but give Stafford and a healthy core of wide receivers there that are basically, I mean, listen, Buffalo couldn't cover it. Buffalo couldn't stop them. We figured the Rams were going to have problems stopping the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, and they certainly did, but they got just enough stops in order to be able to win that game. Very experienced Stafford in this spot. Two teams and two coaches that know each other very well. I think forget about it. To me, it's just let's go out there. We need to score 30 points to win this game. Yeah. And I think the first team that does it is going to win because both teams have major issues defensively and in the secondary, which I think is where this game will be won.
You almost wonder, Joe, full week Sunday afternoon in Santa Clara, is this total 50.5? Probably, right? You would think it would be on the upswing just a little bit. Yep. By the way, you mentioned the familiar foe nature of this game. Kyle Shanahan, his old buddy Sean McVay. Shanahan still owns a 10-6 direct head-to-head matchup record against McVay, but the Rams have won the last two, both in the regular season, including earlier this year. The Rams won outright as a dog. They are 3-4, both straight up and ATS as an underdog this year. When they cover and keep a game close as an underdog, they went outright, as they did last week against Buffalo. The 49ers, 6 wins this year. 5 of the 6, they have covered as the favored side in all 5 covers. Yeah. The over for the 49ers as well in the game. Week 15 is awesome. Bye weeks are done around the National Football League. We've got full slates each and every week to end out the final 4 weeks of this regular season. And so, Joe, on Sunday, the matchup in the Commonwealth, the Keystone State in Philadelphia between the Eagles and the Steelers. Not divisional foes or even conference opponents, but two teams that each have at least 10 wins, the 10-3 Steelers, the 11-2 Eagles that sit atop their divisions right now. You see the spread in favor of Philadelphia on Sunday, actually working even more in favor of the Birds. 5.5-point spread in favor of Philly at home. What do you make of it?
Well, the Steelers likely without Pickens again because of the hamstring, which was interesting because we didn't learn that until very late, Ben, in the game before kickoff, and we saw that total crater. Although we were very close to still getting the over in that game and plenty of opportunities. I mean, they still put up 27 points, Ben, without their number one wide receiver here. They're going to be able to move the ball on the Eagles. It feels like giving Tomlin 5.5 points in this spot, never a good idea against a better team. This has always been a profitable spot to back Pittsburgh, getting points, not against a sub-500 team, but against a divisional leading team. Yes, better competition, better effort. I expect Pittsburgh to hang around this game.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. When you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is their spot. They are 5-0 outright as an underdog this season. Even if they come up short and Philly wins its 10th consecutive game, I would keep them in that number. Total is intriguing to me. 42.5, 2 of the top 5 scoring defenses in the NFL. Philly tied for 2nd, 18 points per game allowed. The Steelers, just about 19 points per game given up. We'll talk more about that in the trends of playing upper-tier competition and how that has looked from the scoring output for both on the other side of the break as we hear on the early line. Look at the early lines for Week 15 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a week it is going to be. Week 15 around the National Football League. It starts on Thursday with a divisional duel. It continues into Sunday with a game of the year, potential number 5 in just a moment. But Joe, to finish out our conversation on the in-state showdown in the Commonwealth between the Eagles and the Steelers in Philadelphia, total of 42.5 is intriguing. Again, two of the top 5 scoring defenses in the National Football League, the Eagles and the Steelers, both allowing less than 20 points per game. Philly in this 9-game win streak, where the defense has really come along, under in 6 of 9, under in 4 of their previous 5. Since Russell Wilson became the starter for Pittsburgh, only 2 games for the Steelers against teams that are 500 or better. The Commanders and the Ravens. Against Washington, a shootout, 55 combined points. But in a matchup against the Ravens, where we expected points, game stayed well under 18-16. The Steelers won outright as an underdog. 5 games for Pittsburgh as a dog this year. Outright victories in all 5. Under in 2 of the 5 only. Over more times than not.
Listen, I mean, this has been a great opportunity year after year. But the thing you worry about the Steelers, especially on the road, is playing down to competition. Well, they haven't done that this year. And ever since Russ has taken over, and you mentioned it, Ben, he's not turning the ball over. They're scoring way more points than we're used to. And now they're taking on a team that's kind of the mirror image of them in the NFC, right? They want to run the ball. They want to control clock. And they want your defense out on the field as much as possible so they can win the game in the second half. I don't know that this is a great matchup for the Eagles to do that. I'm more than happy at 11-5 since 2022 as a road dog. Yeah, the Steelers will have my money this weekend. And don't be shocked, by the way. They're saying Pickens might be out, but I would not be shocked if Pickens is ruled in before this, before kickoff.
The Steelers, the 4th best rushing defense in the NFL. The Eagles, the 8th best. Saquon Barkley will continue his chase of history, trying to catch Eric Dickerson for the single season rushing record in the NFL. Saquon more than 1,620 yards right now. Dickerson 2,105 back in 1984. He is certainly on pace. But the Steelers also know that. 4th best rushing defense, only allowing 91.5 yards per game on the ground. We talked about it throughout the opening hour. Brandon Graham detailing a little bit of a strife between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. Props not out yet, of course, as you would expect on a Tuesday morning. I would keep an eye on those A.J. Brown numbers. Receptions, receiving yards, touchdown, whatever it might be. Joe, what a game we will have on Sunday afternoon as well. The Steelers and the Eagles in that 425 window, as is a game of the year 5 potential. Because we don't have any buys anymore, we've got so many games on Sunday, 425 p.m. Eastern in the Motor City. It's the Lions and the Bills. Just 1.5 now in favor of Detroit. You can see the short distinctions in terms of the money line price. Minus 126 for the Lions, plus 108 other side for Buffalo. And stare at that total, 54.5. The Lions are still the best scoring offense in the NFL. Buffalo just behind. The Bills have scored at least 30 points now in 7 consecutive games. And Joe, Detroit's defense is ailing, not because they're playing bad football, just because of the litany of injuries the Lions have suffered this year. And the Packers took advantage to the tune of 31 points, 24 of them in the second half on Thursday night against Detroit. Game of the year 5, Buffalo and Detroit from Ford Field in the Motor City. What do you like early on?
Yeah, and listen, I think that if Buffalo had won against the Rams, I might look at this game a little bit differently. But I do think Buffalo losing the way they did to the Rams, and while, yes, that was a rough loss for Detroit as well, losing to Green Bay there by 3. You mentioned it, Ben, and we've been talking about it. The injuries on that defensive side of the ball are just mounting. I mean, we're talking a bunch of backups here, Ben. They have been fortunate enough in a few games to not get caught by it, but Green Bay lighting them up and Josh Allen lighting them up are two different things. No elements, not indoors, fast track. My goodness here. I think Buffalo bounces back, wins this game. And I think some team totals are in play for this one as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. To me, it feels like a Bills bounce back spot as well. A couple of spots here, though, Joe, where the home team is favored, trying to hold on to a top spot in a division. Philly not tested nearly as much in the NFC East as the Lions are in the NFC North. Only a game in front of Minnesota. They did beat the Vikings in their only matchup so far this year, with Week 18 and a regular season finale looming on the horizon. But the Lions battling for that number one seed in the NFC, direct correlation to Philadelphia. Buffalo trying to get back in the AFC number one seed race. Them losing to LA on Sunday, and the Chiefs yet again finding a way to win. Two-game lead for KC, and yet Buffalo has the head-to-head tiebreaker as well. Joe, here we are, entering Week 15. We're calling it a game of the year five. If I had to bet right now, Super Bowl 59 exact matchup, this would get my money. What say you?
Yeah, I would not bet against this, Ben, because I do think both teams, I got to see the Lions get a little healthier on that defensive side of the ball. But, you know, the Bills certainly able to go offensively toe-to-toe with this team. Not many people have been able to do that with the Lions. The Bills are certainly capable of doing it. I like the Bills' defense more than I like Green Bay's defense, and Green Bay was able to get it done.
Listen, the Bills could not get a stop, but the Rams could not do anything against Josh Allen, and the Lions are just dealing with so many injuries. It is unfortunate. Speaking of big football games, Army, Navy, Saturday, next. Woo!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On Saturday afternoon in Landover, Maryland, it's the 125th all-time meeting between Army and Navy. The 125th Army-Navy game on Saturday, and it is historic. Rarely in the history of this traditional rivalry have we ever seen these two teams be this good entering the Army-Navy game. In fact, Joe, based on combined total wins, we have never seen these two teams enter with more. 19 between the two. 11-1 Army, 8-3 Navy. The Black Knights, fresh off winning the American Athletic Conference Championship, the first ever conference title in the history of Army football, because they had not been in a conference for many years, but still, Army winning a conference championship for the first time ever. Number 22 in the college football playoff rankings entering this rendition of Army-Navy. Joe, the goal is always to sing second, to come up on the winning end and then sing your alma mater after your most bitter rival, but of course will be your teammate in the years to come. The Black Knights are a 6.5-point favorite. The total stands at 38.5. How will you approach, Germanary, the 125th Army-Navy game?
Yeah, I just don't know if there's any reason with these two teams to look at anything as crazy as it is, Ben. This has always been, just bet the under, we're good to go. Well, I don't know about that in this one here. I think this could be the very rare wild shootout between Navy and Army here. Both are good defensively, but it's the style of offense that these two have been playing is not, you know, it's not your dad's Army-Navy offensively matchup anymore. And I think both teams feel that they're going to have to score, Ben, 30 points to win this game. And I think that's how they're going to approach it. Would not shock me at all that this thing goes flying over the top. I mean, look at those points per game. Look at it. They're averaging 32 a game, these two teams. No way would I look at anything but an over in this one.
Listen, I would start to bet it now at 38.5, because I would not be surprised by the time we reach Saturday if that number is 40 or 40 and a hook. And here's why I say so. Because, Joe, we often look at Army-Navy games and we say, give me the under. 27.5, don't care. Give me the under. 31 and a hook, I got the stones. give me the under. The 2022 meeting, because of overtime, was the first time we saw an over between the Cadets and the Mids in 17 years. 16 consecutive unders entering the 2022 matchup. But Army has won 6 of the last 8 against the Naval Academy, including the last 2. We have seen the over in each of the last 2 as well. And we have not seen these teams be this good or the offenses this prolific in quite some time. Joe, for the first time since 2017, the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy will be on the line as well. That's the matchup between the 3 service academies. Air Force has been really good the last few seasons in college football. Not this year. Both the Naval Academy and Army handling Air Force this season. So for the first time, the Army-Navy game will decide that rivalry trophy. And I do just want to mention this about Army. If they win, and of course they are favored too on Saturday in Landover, it will be the first time in the history of Army football, more than 130 years of Army football, that the Black Knights will have won 12 games in a season. Both of these teams, by the way, already going bowling, which is not something we often see in this rivalry matchup. There is a chance that Army could win 13 games this year, Joe, which would be the most we have ever seen a service academy win. And when it starts with Army, you focus on the quarterback in Bryson Daly. 124 in a hook is his rushing yards prop. To score a touchdown, Germanary, it's minus 380. He's got 29 this year. That's a number that is justified.
Yep. Yeah. And listen, Blake Horvat, too, was another guy that was a big reason as to why Navy was able to get it done here. Another guy that, yeah, these two quarterbacks, Ben, I get wild shootout. It's hard to believe we're saying that, but these two quarterbacks are electric. Defenses are going to have their hands full here.
Both throwing the football better than we have ever seen. I mean, this is as fun of an Army-Navy game as I can remember, as anybody can remember, with the stakes, the implications, and the success both of these football programs have seen in 2024. A big tip of the cap. Hour number 3 up next.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.